Welcome to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. Episode 4, a conversation with Caroline Scharpstrebig, a collector of contemporary art who since 2004 is the director of the Scharpf Collection and the Scharpf Family Foundation. Hello, Caroline. Very nice to have you.
Hi, Daniela. nice talking to you.
Caroline, I would like to go back a little bit to the roots of your passion for art. You grew up with parents that collected an extensive and very high quality collection of contemporary art. What influence had that on you and your relationship with art?
You know, I think if you grow up with art always around you, you don't have an event where art really strikes you because you open your eyes and you always live with art. I even had times, like for example in puberty, where I really was annoyed with taking care of the art.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to take care. And my parents at this time, they collected French Nouveau Realist works. They were mostly on paper. And so we always had to keep the shadows dark so they don't fade the works.
Oh,
so every time I got people to visit, they asked me like, what's wrong here? It's everything is dark in your home. So you always had, you know, as you always take care of the art. So you always have to answer all these annoying questions. Why is this art? I could do the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even in school, you get, you know, nagged about this. It's like, oh, that's the woman, you know, the girl with the crazy parents. So these were times, there were times and I relived this with my own kids as they were in this age where it's sometimes difficult. And then you realize, you know, as I go away from home and I studied in the States, and then suddenly, you know, you go to the museums and you see the artist my parents collected.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think this was like a key moment for me and to feel at home wherever you are because you see things you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that shows the high quality of the collection of your parents. So at some point then you also got deeper and deeper into art and also into your own collection. What was the first artwork you bought for your own collection?
You know, that I really did this. It was from Thomas Arnolds. The work has the name Rausspazieren. It's a Cologne artist. And it's not even so long ago. It's maybe 10 years ago. Because my father was very dominant. And he thought they were, you know, the parents, the art collectors. And our walls are for them to hang their art. And then they asked me in 2005 to take care of the collection. And I first was, you know, I did all the administrative works. So I started an e-archive. I went through our storage rooms to do the inventory right. And then after a while, you know, I always didn't know how he would react. And then I saw this work from Thomas Arnolds and I fell so much in love, I just bought it. And I called him and I said, you have to come, I bought a work. And he was at first furious. So, you know, I lived in Bonn, he lived in Stuttgart, he got in the car, he drove there right away the next day. He looked at the work and he turned around and said, go ahead, you did a good job.
Oh, and relief.
relief, exactly. And that was the starting point. And from this moment, and we collected together also for the Scharpf collection.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So the last 15 or the last 10 years, we decided on every work together. And this was great. And I learned a lot.
And the role of your mother in that, how was that?
You know, my mother was always the person, she had a good feeling in her stomach. It was not about like how to strategically, you know, select artists, how they would fit in the collection. But if she came in a room with 10 works, she had the perfect feeling what is the best work in this room.
Okay, and your
so
father?
They were a good couple.
Oh, that's, it's a good match.
Yeah, it's a good match. He was a strategic thinker. And she had the good feeling for the white work.
And what means strategic in that context?
And, you know, it means, for example, like my parents, you know, actually in the 80s, they started collecting social critical works. Mm-hmm. Then they turned at the late 90s because they, you know, they grew older and they didn't want to look at the problems of the world always. And they focused on purely paintings. Mm-hmm. And so strategic was that my father said, if we focus on strategic paintings, we need three paths. We need to look for figurative paintings. We need to collect painterly paintings, like, you know, with where you see the paintbrush. It's just canvas, color, and paint. And we collect the third row, that's painting without painting. That's, for example, Christopher Wool, mm-hmm. where he denies the authority, yep. Autorenschaft.
Yeah, the authorship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The authorship, yeah, thank you. The authorship of the artist, and he uses these rollers, these wallpaper rollers, to begin with. So, you know, it's a strategic part in it.
Oh yeah, that's really interesting. So that means your parents also had different phases of collecting?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a constant change, so to speak. And you know, that's something that I now observe, that like my parents really have this typically collection from their generation. It's like very much focused on Europe and the US. Mm-hmm. It's dominated by white artists, male artists. Mm-hmm. And right now I realized like 5 to 7 years ago that this is not what the museums want to show anymore, that there is a shift in zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, where I said then we need to fill the holes with the woman of this, with the women artists of this generation. And with younger female artists, that's, you know, where I came in and where I connect the artist today and the zeitgeist today to the basis of my parents' collection.
That's really interesting. So there is actually a real melting point where you still are connected with the collection of your parents, but yes. You also develop it in your own way, but also with probably, I guess, with both like emotional connection to the work, but also strategic thinking, what makes sense. Because you realized, obviously, because you opened up this open depot,
yeah,
where you do cooperations with museums. And then through that, obviously, you realize that they want to show other things.
Exactly. Yeah. As the open depot, or I think in English you call it cooperative storage, or maybe shared collection, mm-hmm. is maybe the best way to describe it. We had at the beginning, as I took over the leadership or the directorship, we had long-term loans in the museums. And I visited the museums and they were all in the storage. And then I thought, you know, that's wrong. Because, mm-hmm. you know, storage costs money. Insurance costs money, so why should they pay for our works being stored away? So I took works back to me, and I have enough storage for all our works. And then I looked which museums want to cooperate with us. Some, like, you know, the museums in the Stuttgart area, they are just historically grown because my parents lived there. And other are more strategically selected. And a good example is always the Kunstmuseum in Bonn, mm-hmm. because they have the focus on German paintings after 1945.
Yeah.
But they only have one Albert Oehlen. They had no Daniel Richter. They have no Neo Rauch. So these are all key positions for my parents' collection. And that's where we are perfect match, and they can work with our collection. They can hang the works as long as they want, but if they are not on the wall, I take them back, so they have no costs in regard to, you know, to store or restore our works.
And that was something that was developed when you became, yes, in charge of the collection. And
exactly. What is the with my parents together?
Yeah. And what? But what is the intent? I mean, I think it's great to share such a profound collection with the public, with the museums. But what was the intention? Why would you do that instead, for example, showing them in an own private museum?
I think I had two intentions. At first, I did some calculating. And I realized that, you know, having an own museum, to have the building, mm-hmm. is not the most expensive thing. So to bring life in it, you know, mm-hmm. to make good shows is the most important and also the most expensive mm-hmm. thing. And we are a small collection. We have 250 works, like, you know, my collection plus my parents' collection. So this is not enough to really, you know, make a museum vivid. So we always would need to cooperate like with other collectors or to get loans. And mm-hmm. therefore you need really good curators and, you know, good people making a good program. And this was just money involved. We couldn't, you know, we could do this maybe for a couple of years, but not for a longer time.
But obviously, and, it was yeah. really important that the works get to the public.
Exactly. And then I think that, you know, every artist who makes a work wants that this work is seen. And mm-hmm. I personally believe it's not important whether it's seen like over your couch in your living room or in a museum or wherever. But what they don't want is that they are stored away. And we always had so many works, and the most of them were in storage, so that we feel obliged to the artist that we do our best to get them out in the world.
So if you collect a piece now for like for your own collection, which is probably not separate anymore, or is it a separate collection, your own collection and the official Scharpf collection?
You know, it's a little bit a melange of everything. I'm not very strict about this. Now, since my father is dead, I put this more separate because, you know, of the inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. So I really have to define what belongs to whom.
Yeah, understandable. But if you buy something for yourself, for your own collection, which sort of kind of is probably in the same, can be also part of the open depot.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And can be shared yeah. with museums. Is that also something you keep in mind, even if you buy a younger female painter, that the work has to be of museum quality?
Yeah. And that's what I tell the gallerist, that, you know, if they can't assure this, then I don't start to collect an artist. And I often have the problems, not here in the European market, but if I look at America, the States, that it's very difficult to get works. And I don't want to have only one work from an artist. So I rather prefer to have like a small collection. I cannot do it like my parents who mm-hmm. followed like Christopher Wolff from 1980 till 2010.
That's amazing.
Because that's the high discipline in collecting, definitely. You can do this in Germany, but you can't do this in the States or in England. The prices evolve too quickly.
So actually, although you said there are holes when it comes to also out of Europe or out of Western art, you could, in Germany, the price ranges are still much more reasonable than in the very volatile markets like in the US or somewhere else. So that would be, for example, a possibility to collect young female German painters. There's a whole new generation of them.
Yeah, definitely. This is a possibility. I took another way last year because I realized that my parents had only one sculpture. That mm-hmm. was Rebecca Warren, was mm-hmm. an English female artist. And I thought it's such a standalone position. So I really have to give her other sculptures to have a sculpture mm-hmm. collection. And then I started to put together a list, and mm-hmm. I looked at the list, and except of Josh Klein, they were all women. But this came naturally, it was not planned. So I bought, you know, Phyllida Barlow, mm-hmm. Carol Bouvet, who is more like technical oriented. Then Anna Utenberg, mm-hmm. you know, she has, it's like a more critical and figurative work. Rachel Harrison, Nairi Bagramian, and just in January, Kapwani Kiwanga. She is mm-hmm. from Canada, North America.
Yeah, that's also quite impressive list. So I wouldn't call them young.
Kapwani is pretty young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And Anna is pretty young. And I have Jesse Darling. She's really young.
Oh, okay.
She's an English sculptor who is doing social critical works. The other ones are older, that's true.
I mean, not only age-wise, you know. I mean, with young, usually somebody who's 40 or 45 can be young because they're probably not so acknowledged, you know.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's kind of, when I say young, it's sort of like not so established. So just to clear that misunderstanding.
Yeah.
That sounds also very ambitious. So you have obviously very much storage because sculpture even needs more space than painting.
Yes, I know. That's always a problem. I rented a new space last year and that's full already.
I can imagine.
Because that's a little bit a problem.
Because that's a courtesy that actually I know people that are happy to give the stuff to museums even if it's not shown because of the storage problem everybody mm. has, and the museum have also storage problems. So the interesting thing is behind the passion of collecting, which I really would like to go deeper in because it's sort of such an effort to collect high quality art and to deal with all the museums, there's also a whole logistic behind it.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably, you know, the most, if I'm not traveling and looking, you know, in galleries looking for artists, I'm doing here with my computer, you mm-hmm. know, all the transportations, the list, the inventory to look at that every work got the perfect grade. That's a lot. It's probably more than 50%.
And do you do this alone or probably you have an assistant or somebody?
No, I'm a one woman show.
Wow.
But it's a full time job.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything else.
Wow. But that's all. So that is all more or less, I mean, it's in service of the collection, but it's also in service of the public. What is the drive behind that? That it must be a very strong drive.
Yes, I think we really have great public museums in Germany mm-hmm. and they all have problems because the acquisition budgets get tighter and tighter. And if we can help, why shouldn't we? And what I always like is the dialogue with the museum's directors. It's something that really gives me a lot and I learn a lot from them. And I hope sometimes they for me too. You have to ask them.
I think so. Can any museum approach you, or can also other institutions or even galleries for high quality group shows approach you, or do you say no, that we have certain partners we work with?
For shows, everybody can approach me, not commercial galleries.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes get asked by Gogosian and David Zwirner whether they want to loan something, but I don't think that is the right context for our works. So I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for museums, yes, but for the cooperation, it really has strategically to fit, and It for me, it's important that it's not too close to the museums we already cooperate with.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And now personally, what really interests me is like when you, because you're obviously now really the woman in charge, but you have the whole heritage behind you, but you have also the future in front of you. And what is, for example, if you discover a new artist or you see something which you think, oh, that's really interesting, and you don't have it yet in your collection, what is then the thrill, or what makes you then decide, I think that's worth going for that position, for that artist?
If I see something that it's a long dialogue with the gallerist, so to know more about the artist and the work, And then I'm not a fast buyer. Then I go home, and sometimes it takes me months to come back. But it has to stick in my head. And if it always comes back to me, the work, then I know I have to go further.
So there is this, it's not only a strategic decision, there is also something which is in the art itself, which kind of really drives you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it really has, you know, the work has to get you. And if it sticks in your head, then I know I'm on the right path.
And is that more emotional or mental? What is the feeling?
I think it's maybe more mental, that you keep thinking about the work. But it's still, you know, also if I see something and I like it right away, I know I have to be careful because these are the works that bore me very fast. The works that keep me busy over years are the works I don't like so much. And I always have to think, so what disturbs you? Why do you always look at this work? And these are things that keep me busy in mind.
So what do you think then, because that's I find that very interesting, because that means that art has a much higher Aufgabe.
Duty? Task.
Task. Much higher task, or is going actually for something much higher than just pleasure. And you give the art that is not so pleasant, the art that does disturb you or probably you don't even like in the first moment, a chance.
I think that's the art that keeps you interested over decades. Like if I look at an early work from Albert Oehlen, it still fascinates me. And I'm still looking sometimes at the work and think, what the hell did he do here? Maybe because it's against the way of what we are used to see. Do you understand what I mean?
I absolutely understand what you mean. I find it just really, for me, it's very interesting. I mean, sure, you come from this super high family quality collection of your family. I have a lot of discussion with collectors that have problems if works get too disturbing. And I don't mean it on an emotional level. I just mean sometimes a thinking level, a mental level, or if they're not, you know, decorative enough, how we would say probably, that people usually search pleasure in art, and you obviously search more. And what do you think is the task of art in society? Why do you, should museums display also this art which is harder to get?
Because I think that's something that I'm missing the perfect English word now. I think at first I always call this more decorative art, it's, you know, artworks for beginner, because it's easy to understand. And then, you know, that's the first step you are doing. But then if you go more often to museums, you need to have this other step that you see things that it's even still demanding for you. Otherwise, I think a museum visit will be boring very soon.
If you go often.
If you definitely, yes, if you go often. And also why you know, museums should show this art is that, you know, often the artists, they are very sensitive and they realize what's going on in our time, and they put a mirror in our face. And sometimes it's hard to look in this mirror.
I mean, I think sometimes even beauty can be hard. There are very beautiful artworks which still have this second or even third layer. You know, so beauty is not opposite. Even beauty can hurt.
Definitely, yeah.
And what would you say to somebody who is a beginner collector? What would be your advice to say how to start?
I think at first you have to start with something that really touches you, that you really, where you have the urge, you need to have it. right? Even if you don't have the money in the moment, or if you don't like it, or if you don't have the space, but you really want to have it. And then I think it's easier if you look for, you know, if for an area where you can collect. If you're not just buy anything you like, but if you say, I like paintings, so I concentrate on German paintings, or I like photography. So if it's more narrow, your collection becomes a phase, and it prevents you from just buying things because you like something. And then, you know, you look back and you have then 50 works from all different periods and areas. And so you don't see like a red line in it anymore.
And so you obviously would advise also to go deep if you think an artist is really good, to not only buy one work.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's my father did this with André Butza now lately, because, you know, he followed him now since 2000 till the day right before he died. And we have, I think, now 30 works from him. And it's just really beautiful to see how he pushes himself further to follow these steps. And then you have a different dialogue with the artists.
Because I find it interesting that a lot of museums I also work with sometimes just buy one or two pieces by an artist. I mean, they don't have endless means, but especially with younger artists, it would be a possibility to sort of like follow them. To have this kind of, I don't know the English word we say in German, Belegexemplar, to have kind of the, to say, yeah, well, this artist is also in our collection.
Yeah, okay, that's possible. Yeah.
You know, so to say, okay, we have this, like, check, that name is on there. And I find it also great to see how artists develop over time and to follow that in a collection, which is rare.
Definitely, yeah.
Which is
really it's rare. And I think, you know, the problem of the museums is also that, you know, there are so many artists now. So it's hard to really decide which artist to follow. And I think everybody is afraid that then maybe in 30 years, they don't have the artist who is regarded as the most meaningful artist of this period.
Yeah, but the museums contribute to which artist is regarded as meaningful. That's kind of like a vicious circle. If you buy somebody, you put them in the museum, it's probably already the first step to be more meaningful. What do you think, or for you personally, what is the role of galleries in that?
Oh, for me, they are the most important counterparts, because I depend on them. That they sometimes they call me and they say, you know, when you are in town, come, I have an interesting painter for you. You should look at, because it's, you know, there's just so many galleries now, you can't have an overview anymore. So you depend on people to give you a hint and, you know, to know their business.
And that means you have to have a trustful relationship with the galleries that approach you?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we know each other, and we often talk about general things. And I always like if we can talk about, you know, shows also, even on shows, you know, in museums or in other galleries, to reassess my own thinking of the artists.
So you're really open for discussion, to re-evaluating also your own standpoint?
Yes, all the time. And I do this with the museum's directors and curators also. So they, you know, I visit them like once or twice a year. I show them what I bought new. And then they, you know, you realize at their reaction what they think. And that's interesting. And it's a good learning path for me.
Also as a person, or also when it comes to art?
I think both. You get humble. You know, you don't think, you know, sometimes many collectors think, you know, it's everything is great what they do. So if you get a feedback, and even if the museum's directors are polite, you realize if they never show the work, then you ask yourself, you know, is this the right artist? Is this the right work? And then you have to do your own decision.
And is this time also we're in right now, is this a humbling time for you as well?
You mean with the pandemic?
Yes, with just, yes. The, yeah, exactly.
I think it's humble. And you know what I realized that for me, I was so driven by this whole art circle, you know, running to openings, to museum shows, to biennials, to fairs, that I was missing the time to really sit down and think about the collection. And now I realize it's much more beautiful if you go to see a show, and that's something special now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe in 2 weeks you see the next show and you really have time that it resonates with you.
And so what do you think, something will change for you personally in your way? You will develop the collection, you're looking at art and all these things in the future through that?
Not how I will develop the collection, but I think I will be more selective in where to go. Because I think that traveling will be more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you don't maybe fly anymore 3 times a year to the States. So it's maybe only every second year. So I think I will be more selective to really, you know, where to go and what to see.
Will you then be more looking at things that are in your area in Germany?
I think I will still think global, mm-hmm. but look local.
Yeah, because you can find global things in a local surrounding.
Yeah, and that's much better because then you have the selection already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, because the German gallerist has to find the American artist and bring it over. So this is already a selection process, which means that this artist has something special that somebody from Germany wants to show them. So this helps me.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, I think all good art is international art, global art, no matter where the artist comes from.
Definitely.
You know, there is no regional or local art in that sense. If it's great art, it's art for the world.
That's always something that really brings me in problems, because my parents had this regional focus,
mm-hmm.
but today you can't pinpoint artists anymore by regions, because they are, I know, born in China and they study in the States and they work in Berlin. So, you know, what is this now? But if I open it up too wide, I am scared I'm losing the focus. And I want that our collection has a face so that people know what to expect from our collection. I don't want to open it up that it's, you know, that everything could go.
Yeah, as far as I know, your collection is, the collection is also now a foundation. So it will, there is a plan for the future, for the larger future also.
So we have this foundation, but it's annexed to the collection. The most part of the collection is belonging to my mother, my sister and me now, because mm-hmm. my father died last year. And my parents decided this and they put this down. So I'm the director as long as I want to be the director.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I am old or tired or can't do it anymore, then my sister and I will split the collection. And I will have my collection with my parents' collection. I will always can tell the story of my parents' collections.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough works for this. Will then be the new collection. And that's better. We decide, or I think that's the right way, because, you know, if it comes in the next generation for our kids,
mm-hmm.
then it will be very difficult. But too many, grandchildren.
Oh, yes. I see that in a lot of collecting families. Mm. But then there would be the possibility, is there a plan to give it to the public then?
Well, we, you know, with the foundation, we always give works to the public, and mm-hmm. they will always stay in the foundation, and so this stays for the public. But to I don't know. I have to think about it, because it always, you know, depending how everything will develop, because I don't want to give something to the public and then the zeitgeist moves on and it's in storage there.
Yeah, but you can't predict the future.
No, therefore I want to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand absolutely. And there is one last question in a way I would like to ask you. So what would be your wish, or what, after having gone through this the past couple of weeks and the lockdown, something you find really positive for you that came out of it? And what would be the wish that we could keep something of that for the future?
So what I really like is all the content that is now online. You know, galleries who are putting online documentary films or speeches. And so I can look at a lot of stuff I missed over the years. And I think that's great. I hope this will stay. At first I like the online viewing rooms, but now every morning if I open my email account, I have 10 new online viewing rooms. So this, you know, it's overwhelming now. And I don't think a solution can be if we go back to normal life, and I hope we can do this after we have vaccination, then that we have then, you know, the normal life with fairs and shows and everything, plus all the online viewing rooms. I think this would be too much.
Do you think
it's a fine line?
Yeah, it is a fine line. Do you think it will go back to just normal?
Yes, I think so. I think as soon as we have a vaccination, maybe it will take 2 or 3 years, but there will always be art. You know, there are always artists, there will be always art, and there will always be people who want to have this art.
That's a wonderful last word. Thank you very, very much, Caroline, for speaking to you and taking the time. And
my
bye
pleasure.
Bye. Yes, my pleasure too.
Bye bye, Daniela. Thank you for
Tschüss.
Calling me.
Yeah.
Tschüss.
Thank you for listening to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. Stay tuned and connect.